All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Mazel tov to those who are Messiah Maseches. Bracha is so incredibly exciting. The first Masechta in our new cycle of Daf Yomi, and welcome Baruch Haba to Maseches Shabbos. And I will say Rashi and Chai Sarah brings down that there were three miracles in the tent of Sarah Imenu. Right, there was Bracha B'Isa, special blessing in the dough. Unknown kasher ala oel. There was a cloud that was always attached to the top of the tent. And neros dolkos me erev Shabbos li erev Shabbos. And Sari Minu Shabbos candles remained lit from 1 week into the next. The idea being that the greatness of Sari Minu was the ability to take the kiddush of Shabbos from Shabbos into the week. Sometimes Shabbos begins Friday evening at sundown and ends nightfall on Saturday night. But Sari Minu, the greatness of Sari Minu was her ability to take that Kiddusha, that holiness of Shabbos, with her into the week. And I will say, the great schus that we have with us over the coming months is the ability to take the Kiddusha of Shabbos with us, the holiness of Shabbos with us, each and every day. We get to learn Masechah Shabbos, we get to live in Shabbos, we get to live in Shabbos on Shabbos, we get to live in Shabbos on Sunday, we'll get to live on Shabbos on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. An incredible, incredible schus. We want to thank our sponsors of the shiur, to thank the Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Adar, the Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all the shiurim and drushos this month in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda Leib, and the merit of an Aliyas Neshama. We thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating our week of learning in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zachariah ben Zachariah and Dina Bas Pesach. And we thank Mr. and Mrs. Shmuel Artman and Mr. and Mrs. Moshe David Artman for dedicating the shiurim this week. Le'iloi Nishmas and Lezecha Nishmas, their father's 20th yard site, Fishel Berel Ben Yitzchak Gershon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family's a Nechama. Thank you again for the sponsorship. And I will say, with that, let us begin. So we're going to see, just by way of Hakdama, so it's fascinating to note that the Masechta of Shabbos begins with the Halachas of Hotzah. Hotzah literally means going ahead and transferring an object from one domain to another. So we'll get into all the intricacies of these Halachas. It is quite fascinating that Stern, go there, you have a seat? It is quite fascinating, I will say, that the Masechta chooses to begin with this, because we'll see later on when we get actually into the 30. So let me give a little bit of background. There are 39 malachos, 39 prohibited categories of labor on Shabbos. Those 39 malachos we'll see come from the Mishkan. Most of them are malachos, are prohibited labor that we use in the construction of the Mishkan. But as we'll see, for example, by Hotzah, so this malacha does not come from the construction of the Mishkan, comes from a different element of the Mishkan. We'll see later on that there is actually an order to the malachos. So fascinatingly enough, in the order of malachos, Hotzah is not malacha number one. Yet, ultimately, again, it is the first thing that the Masechta deals with for reasons that we will see. So we'll say with that, and at the end of the shiur, I'll give you an incredible insight by the Tamid HaBesht, the students of the Baal Shem Tov, into this concept of Hotzah, but we'll save that for dessert in Mirat Hashem for today. So we'll say with that, let us begin the Masechta. Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shehin Arba. So we'll say, so literally again, Yitzios. So Yitzios literally means going out. Rashi points out over here, and we'll say, by the way, when was the last time you saw a page of Gemara this size? This is like a half a page of brachas over here. Pretty incredible. See, it's Yosef Shabbos. Rashi says, top Rashi, Hotzos Shemirashus L'Rishus Ha'amuros L'Shabbos. So we'll say, so remember, Rashi explains, Yitzios is from Lashon of Hotzah. Hotzah means taking something out from one domain and transferring it into another. We will see that for Shabbos purposes, there are a number of different types of domains. For our purposes today, as we'll see, there are two domains, two different rishuyos, what we call rishus hayochid, private domain, versus rishus harabim, public domain. The definitions of what makes a rishus hayochid, what makes a rishus harabim, in Mirat Hashem, we will see in coming days. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim and Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. So literally translated, the act of transferring from one domain to another are two cases which turn into four cases, Bifnim in the private domain, Ushtayim Shein Arba Bachutz, and two cases which become four cases, bachutz, meaning in Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain. I will say this will become a bit clearer as the Mishnah progresses, but take a look at Rashi. Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Laosan HaOmdim Bifnim, Shtayim Min HaTorah, Well, so as we're going to see, and again, the Mishnah is going to illustrate all of these cases. So there are two primary cases. I'll say what we're really going to see is the way the Mishnah really tries to explain things as follows. There are two cases which are biblically prohibited, which then translate into another two cases which are rabbinically prohibited for a total of four cases. That's what it means, two which are four. Two which are biblical, the additional two which are going to be rabbinic, for a total of four cases per domain. Look at Rashi. So, shtayim shein arba bifnim, la'osana omdim bifnim, shtayim min haTorah, hotza v'achnasa de balabayis. So we will see, for example, for those who are standing in the Rosh HaSayachid, in the private domain, there are going to be two biblically prohibited cases of hotza, of transferring an item from domain to domain. Or Barak HaZak, Bereish HaBosei, this is a very important piece of Rashi. Rashi just points out over here, where does the malacha of hotza come from? So remember again, if we go back for just a moment and assume that the 39 malachos, the 39 prohibited categories of labor, come from the Mishkan. So where, meaning specifically in the creation of the Mishkan. So if that's the case, then ultimately again, where does hotza come from? So this is actually quite amazing. Rashi quotes over here the Gemara and Tzadik Vav Amid Beis, Bereish HaNafkalon, Mivayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kolba Machane. So both say, interestingly enough, where does hotza come from? Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and he made a declaration, right? He made an announcement. And what was the announcement? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu announced, do not bring anything more to the Mishkan. The Rebbe say, Nebbe Pashtos, when we read that Pasuk, so we normally assume that what happened? Moshe makes that announcement, why? Because they've collected more than enough building materials, gold, silver, whatever else. So Moshe Rabbeinu puts that announcement, don't bring anything else. The Gemara is going to add an additional layer of significance to Moshe Rabbeinu's announcement. Specifically, look at Rashi. Lo safiku me rishus hayochid lo rishus harabim lo havi nedava lemachane levia the yom haShabbos hayakid yalef hasem. So I'll say we will see later on that in fact when Moshe Rabbeinu makes that announcement and he says, do not bring anything more to the Mishkan. In fact, what he was saying is not only because we have enough building materials, but Moshe Rabbeinu was announcing he did not want people bringing things to the Mishkan on Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu was essentially telling them, do not bring the materials that you have in your homes to the Machane Levia. Remember again, Machane Levia was the center camp, the Levitic camp in which the Mishkan was housed. That Levitic camp was called Rishus HaRabim, public domain. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people was, do not bring the materials from your homes, which are Rishus HaYochid, private domain, to the Machane Levia, the center camp, which is public domain. So from here, the Gemara is going to learn out the concept of Hotza. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them that on Shabbos, you may not transfer an item from a private domain to a public domain, and we will see by extension from a public domain to a private domain. But that is so. We'll say interestingly enough, the concept of hotza comes from the Mishkan, but again, it's not necessarily something that was used in the creation of the Mishkan, but rather something that came about as a result of the collection for the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu announcing, "Don't bring anything to the Machane Levia, to the Mishkan on Shabbos, because that would be an act of transferring from a private domain to a public domain." Rashi continues. He says, fine. So we'll say so again. So therefore, the Mishnah begins by telling us Yitzios HaShabbos. So the concept of transferring an item from one domain to another. We'll say we're going to see. We spend a lot of time of Hotza. Yet interestingly enough, if there's one element of Shabbos that often we become ignorant of, it's Hotza. And the reason for that is because Erev. Again, we'll discuss. We have Erev. And in fact, there's a very important obligation for a community to put up an Erev. But again, a lot of times because Eruvim are so prevalent, we become a little less knowledgeable about these halachas, which we'll become reoriented with. So Ketzad. So the Mishnah says, what are the cases? So both say, so therefore, what we have over here, just remember this principle. So there are going to be two primary cases, two biblical cases, which then go ahead and also yield two more rabbinic cases, which yield for a total of four cases. Now we're going to see it's not really four cases. In fact, it's going to be eight cases, because it's four cases, ultimately, again, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and then it's going to be another four cases from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Here we go, Keitzad. So I'll say, how does this work? Here we go. Ha'ani Omid Bachutz U'Balabayis Bifnim. So follow these cases. The Ani. Now we'll say, now this is how the Mishnah is just setting it up. So let's say the pauper is standing Bachutz. Bachutz means in Rishus HaRabim. So the pauper is standing in the Rishus HaRabim. Now we'll say, understand, the cases of Hotzah, you know, of course, do not just center around a pauper and a wealthy person. The Mishnah is just choosing to illustrate these cases in this way. So the pauper is standing in Rosh Hasharabim, u'balabayis bifnim. And the balabayis, right? The balabayis, the balabas, right? The person who's going to give the tzedakah, so to speak, is standing in his Rosh Hasharabim. Right? So the balabayis, so the image is what? So the balabayis is in his home, and the ani is standing outside of his home. So watch this. Pashat ha'ani es yado. Pashat ha'ani es yado lifnim. V'nasan l'soch yado shabalabayis. So we'll say, so let's say, again, to illustrate this simply, let's say the ani is coming to collect food, for argument's sake. So the ani is holding a basket. The pauper is holding a basket. So the pauper is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, and he's going, and he's coming to the balabayis, who's standing in the Rishus Yachid, inside of his own home. So what does the ani do in case number one? Then he takes his basket from the Rishus HaRabim, and he goes ahead and inserts it into the Rishus HaYochid, and he gives it over to the balabayis. So I will say, Mishnah is teaching us a very important concept. In order to be chayiv for an act of hotzah, in order to be chayiv for an act of transferring an item from one domain to another, you need what's called the akira and hanacha. You must uproot the item in one domain and place it down at rest in another domain. So in a case where the ani is holding the basket in the Rosh HaSarabim, see, he has done the akira, he's done the uprooting, the picking it up in the Rosh HaSarabim, and when he deposits it into the hand of the balabayis, inside the balabayis' home, then he has done the hanacha, he has done the putting down of the object inside of the Rosh HaYochid. So Rabbi will say, so what's the halacha in this case? Oh, so Rabbi will say, that's case number one. These are the two biblical cases. So if case number one is the ani is standing in Rosh HaRabim, the balabayis is standing in Rosh HaYochid, the ani takes the basket from the Rosh HaRabim and he gives it over. He puts it into the hand of the balabayis. So Rabbi will say, in that case, the ani has done the akira and the hanacha. Oh, shanatal misocha v'hotzi. Or Rabbi will say, for that matter, Shanatal misocha v'hotzi, Rashi says, O shanatal misocha v'hotzi ha-chefetz b'nyach b'rishus harabim do'avad le'or abosai. The ani takes the basket from inside the balabas's home. Right? O shanatal misocha v'hotzi. Or the ani went ahead and he took the basket from inside the balabas's home and he brought it out into the rishus harabim. In these cases, ha'ani chayiv u'balabayis pater. So I'll say, ultimately, again, in these cases, the ani will be liable for an act of hotzah, but the balabayis has no liability. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Pasha ta'ani es yado, v'chefetz bisocha. So the ani, remember again, case number one, the ani is standing in the public domain. He inserts his basket into the private domain, into the home of the balabayis. V'nasan l'soch yado de balabayis, and places the basket into the hand of the balabayis. So Rashi says, what's happened over here? Da'ave le'akira b'rishus harabim, v'hanocha b'rishus hayochid. So we'll say, in this case, the ani has uprooted the object in the public domain, has put it down to rest in the private domain. Or for that matter, Oshanatal Misocha Vahotzi, I'm just reading Rashi's, Hachefetz, so, or the ani picked up the basket from inside the home of the balabayis, V'imyach Birshus HaRabim, and he places it down in Birshus HaRabim. So I both say, what's happened in both of these cases? The Ovid Le Akira Birshus HaYochid, V'anocha Birshus HaRabim, Ha'ani Chayiv, Rashi says, Sha'asa Melacha Shlema, V'hare Shtayim Min HaTorah, La'omid Bachot. So I both say, these are the two biblical cases where someone standing in the Rishus HaRabim, will public domain, will be chayiv for an act of transference between Rishuyos, between domains on Shabbos. So we'll say this is shtayim, right? Two cases of the ani. So we'll say, remember again, in these cases, the ani is standing in the public domain, and there are two possibilities for how he could incur biblical liability. Case number one is he takes his basket from the public domain, puts it inside to the private domain, and puts it down in the hand of the balabayis. That's case number one of liability. He has done the akira and the hanacha. He's uprooted the object, placed the object down at rest. And case number two is where he goes ahead and he takes the object from inside the Rishus HaYachid, brings it out to the Rishus HaRabin. So two cases of someone who is omid bachutz, who is standing in the public domain, who will be biblically liable for an act of hotzah. Next. So we'll say that's what it means when it says shtayim bachutz. Two biblical cases for someone standing in, bachutz means outside, someone standing in Rosh Sarabim. Next, Rabbi Osai, Pashat Balabayis. Rabbi Osai, now we're going to the two cases of Bifnim. Two cases of biblical liability for someone standing inside of the Rosh Hayochid. Someone standing inside of the private domain. Rabbi Osai, again, Rabbi Osai, you're going to see, the truth is we're going to see these cases are actually very repetitive. Right, they're the same case. We're just in the first two cases, we're focusing on the ani, on the pauper who's standing in the public domain. The second two cases are going to be focusing on the balabayas who's standing inside of his home in the private domain. So, what are the next two cases? Pashat balabayas es yado lachutz. So I will say, if the balabayas is standing inside of his home, and he extends his hand outside of his home, so we'll say, here's the way to illustrate this. Let's say the balabayas wants to give a loaf of bread to the ani. So what does he do? It's Shabbos. He's standing inside of his home, and he then takes the loaf of bread from inside of his home and extends it out of his home and places it in the basket or in the hand of the ani. We'll say, so what has the balabayas done? He's uprooted an object in the private domain and placed it down at rest in the public domain. So that is an act of hotzah. That is an act of transference on Shabbos. Oh, shanat al misocha, the hichnis, or Rabbi Osai, for that matter, let's say the balabayis extended his hand out to the public domain, took the ani's basket and brought it inside of his home. Ultimately, what's the halacha? Balabayis chayiv, v'ha ani pater. Rabbi Osai, in that case, the balabayas will be chayiv, and ultimately again, the anipatis. So, say, see, here you have it. So now you understand, by the way, the opening phrase of the Mishnah. Yitzios ha-Shabbos shtayim shein arba bifnim u-shtayim shein arba chutz. So we only know the first part. So I will say, when it comes to an act of otsa, there are two biblical cases, or there are two, right, we'll call two biblically liable cases if you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim, and two biblically liable cases if you're standing in the Rishus HaYochid. What are the two biblically liable cases if you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim? So that comes from the perspective of the pauper. Either what's happening over here is the pauper is taking his basket, and what? Taking his basket from the Rishus HaRabim, putting it into the Rishus HaYochid, or taking his basket from the Rishus HaYochid and bringing it into the Rishus HaRabim. The idea is that the pauper is doing both the Akira and the Hanacha, the lifting up of the object and the placing down of the object. The Akira takes place in one domain, the Hanacha takes place in another domain. That's the case of two biblical prohibitions that the Ani could transgress while standing in the public domain. Conversely, there are two biblical prohibitions that the Balabayas could go ahead and transgress while standing in the private domain. Case number one is where ultimately he goes ahead and takes the basket from the ani, from the pauper, in the public domain and brings it into the private domain. And or case number two is where he takes the object from the public domain, let's say the loaf of bread, and gives it out to the ani in the public domain. So we'll say, see again, bottom line, again, we'll see why the Mishnah needs to use all of these cases. Because again, it's a very simple principle. It's clear. It's a very simple principle. Right, you can't go ahead and transfer an item from one domain to another domain, right? But in halacha lemaisa, the definition of hotzah, the definition of the malacha of transferring an item from domain to domain, is where you do an akira, an uprooting of the object in one domain and a placing it down at rest in another domain. So we'll say, so those are the two cases, shtayim bachutz, two cases of liability in the Rishus HaRabim, Ushtayim Bifnim, and two cases of liability in the Rishus HaYochid. Now, remember again, the Mishnah said there are two which are four. So, what are the additional cases? Here we go. Pasha Tani Es Yadol Lifnim, V'Natal Balabayis Misocha. Listen to this interesting case. What happens, right? So, remember again, the pauper is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, he's standing in the public domain, and he has a basket. So, what does he do? He takes his basket. Remember, the pauper standing in the public domain. He takes his basket and he extends it into the private domain, into the Rishus HaYochid. But, we'll say, watch this case. V'natal balabayis misocha. But the balabayis takes the basket out of the ani's hand. So we'll say, what's different about this case over here? What's different about this case? Remember, the ani, the pauper, has not done the hanacha. He has not placed the object down in the private domain. So what he's done is, he's picked up the item in the public domain, put it inside of the private domain, but he never got a chance to put it down because the balabayas took it from his hand. Or ultimately again, or the balabayas goes ahead and puts it into his hand and he takes it out. What's the halacha? Shnei and peturin. But say ultimately again, both of them will be potter. So what the Mishnah is teaching me over here is that halacha lemaisa, if you have a case where one party did the akira and another party did the hanacha, one party uprooted the object and another party put the object down, then shnei and peturin, they are both potter. I will say, we will see that when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, whenever you see the word potter, potter almost always means potter aval aser, right? Your potter, in other words, there's no liability for it, but it will still be rabbinically prohibited. So both say, Saloch lamaisa, what the Mishnah is teaching me is that in order to be biblically liable, one individual must do both the akira and the hanach. From a biblical perspective, we're going to see, even though both say, the biblical paradigm of Hotzah goes in which direction? Which direction? Rishus Hayochid to Rishus HaRabim. Right? Because remember again, remember the biblical paradigm of Hotzah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu telling the people, don't bring any more materials from your homes ultimately to Machane Leviyah, to the Mishkan. So that's from Rishus Hayochid to Rishus HaRabim. We're going to see the Torah is not coming to say that that's the only form of Hotzah, because intuitively, the concept of Hotzah is moving things from one domain to another. So what does it matter if you're moving it from Rishus Hayochid to Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaRabim to Rishus Hayochid? It is still going to be biblically prohibited. Now we'll say, but we're going to see in order to violate something biblically, one individual must do both the Akira and the Hanacha. Therefore, it turns out, and those, so we'll say, so therefore, what we've seen is, there are two biblical cases, right? There are two potential cases from the Ani, who's standing in Rosh HaRabim, into Rosh HaYochid, and two biblical cases, ultimately again, from the Balabayas, who's standing in the Rosh HaYochid, into the Rosh HaRabim. And now we begin to see that what? There are also additional cases, but those additional cases are situations where one party is doing the Akira, one party is doing the Hanacha, in which case, again, Shnehem Peturin, both will be biblically exempt, but again, rabbinically prohibited. Similarly, Pashat Balabayas Est Yadol Lachutz, if the Balabayas extended his hand, remember again, the Balabayas is always standing in his home, he extends his hand out to the Rosh HaRabim, V'natala Ani Misocha. So we'll say, so let's say the Balabayas has the loaf of bread, he's extending his hand out to the Ani, but he doesn't put it down. Instead, what happens? The Ani takes it from his hand. In which case, what's happened over here? The Balabayas has done the Akira, but the Ani did the Hanacha, right? The Balabayas lifted up the object, but the Ani put down the object, put the object to rest in the second domain. So the Gemara says, oh, Shenasan Lissocha Vehechnis. Oh, ultimately, again, he put something into his hand, and then he brought it into the second Rishus. What's the halacha? Shnehen Peturin. But say, in both of these cases, Rashi says, Oshinasan Lissocha, the Avid by Balabai Sakira, Vahotsia Ani Vehiniach. So, say, so again, in the first part, so therefore, in both cases, Shnehen Peturin. Both of them will be potter. Look at Rashi, which is Mom Shnei and Peturin. Shelo Asa Echad Malacha Shlema. So we'll say, so we begin to see that in the rabbinically prohibited cases, the reason why it's not a biblical prohibition is because in order to be biblically liable, as we just said before, one person has to do both the Akira and the Hanacha. Anytime you have a situation where one person is doing the Akira and the second person doing the Hanacha, there is no biblical liability, but there will be rabbinic liability. That's what Rashi says. So therefore again, but halacha lemaisa, we still prohibit this, even though technically speaking, only one person is doing the Akira, one person is doing the Hanacha. Rabbinically, we don't want you doing this, lest you come to perform a full act of Hanacha. So therefore, again, what do you see from here? Harishtayim midivrehem. So therefore, Rabbi said, what do you see? So there are two biblical cases. And the two biblical cases, Rabbi says, remember again, there are really four biblical cases. What it means is it's two per domain. There are two biblical cases if you're the ani standing in the public domain, and there are two biblical cases if you are the balabayis standing in the private domain. Each of those two biblical cases also have what? Two kind of follow-up rabbinic cases. Now the rabbinic cases are both say very simple. So remember, what are the biblical cases? The biblical cases here is where one party is doing both the akira and the hanacha. The rabbinic cases is where one party is doing the hanacha, one party is doing the akira, or vice versa. So that is our Mishnah. And now you understand the first statement in the Mishnah. Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayin Shin Arba Befnim, U'Shtayin Shin Arba Chutz. Which Rabbi says, so now we can translate it more correctly, which means, and when it comes to Otsa, when it comes to transferring an object on Shabbos, there are ultimately, again, two cases, two biblical cases, right? Two potential biblical prohibitions. If you are standing in the public domain, two biblical prohibitions, which also have two additional rabbinic cases, and two biblical cases if you're standing in the Rishos HaYachid, and there are two more additional rabbinically prohibited cases. Beautiful. Beautiful. So it says the Gemara. Tanan Hasan, let's go back there. So now what we're going to just point out, is this verbiage of Shtayin Shein Arba, you find in other cases as well. For example, Tanan Hasan, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. When it comes to oaths, Shavuos, an oath, there are two cases which really become four, which means there are cases, when it comes to oaths, there are two biblically prohibited cases, which then go ahead and have two more rabbinically prohibited cases. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Shavuos Shtayim, Shavuos Shel Bitui. So this is what's called the Shavuos Bitui. Shavuos Bitui, literally, we translate it as an oath of utterance. So what does this mean? If you look at Rashi, Shavuos Shel Bitui, Lahara Lehetiv, Shtayim, Lizchai Valen Kabran Olavio, right? Haram Beparsha, Denafki Milara Lehetiv, Dimashma Lahaba. Ochal v'lo ochal. So both say the two biblical shvuas bitui for which you would be liable if you transgress are as follows. They are on a biblical level. They are future oriented oaths. If a person takes an oath, I will eat something, or I won't eat something, and you go, suppose I say I'm going to eat this loaf of bread. So if I make that oath, right, and I'm going to eat the loaf, and I don't eat it. Or conversely, I'm not going to eat the loaf, and I do eat it, I have violated an oath that I have made. I violate an oath, and if I violate the oath, again, the halacha is, you're chayiv a carbon ola v'yoreid. There's a specific carbon that you're obligated to go ahead and bring. So that's the biblical example of oaths. That's called shuas bitui, an oath of utterance. So again, midoraisa, the only time you violate Shavuos Bitui is when there is a future-focused oath. I will eat or I won't eat. Those are the two biblical cases. But there are two more rabbinic cases. What are the two more rabbinic cases, Rabbi Osai? Past tense oaths. Rashi says, Shein Arba, Yesh Lechal Rabos, Ochtai Miribu Akasuv, Lechola Sheivata Adam Lerabos, Lesha'avar Achalti, Vishalo Achalti. So again, the two rabbinic cases are, if a person swore, I did eat, or I swore I didn't eat. So as a person swore, I did eat a loaf of bread, but in fact he didn't eat it. Or he swore, I didn't eat a loaf of bread, but in fact he did eat it. So again, remember, this is not our topic for now. All the Gemara is bringing down is that we have other contexts in which the Mishnah uses the same wording of Shtayim Shein Arba. So the realm of oaths, there are two biblical oaths, I will eat, or I won't eat, which ultimately have two additional rabbinic cases. I did eat, or I didn't eat. Amud Beis, similarly, Yediyas HaTuma. Also, when it comes to matters of Tuma, ritual impurity. Shtayim Shein Arba. There are also two biblical cases, which have two more rabbinic cases, for a total of four cases. Look at Rashi. Yediyas HaTuma. Hamuros Bekarbon Ola Vyoreit. Omnefesh kisiga, barina mesech shvus. Look at this Rashi. Shena kasa madaber ela betumas mikdash vikadashav. Shela acha shenitma achol kodesh o shenichnas lamikdash. So the two biblical cases of tuma are as follows: a person became ritually impure, and he inadvertently forgot that he was impure. He inadvertently entered into the Beis Hamikdash in a state of ritual impurity, or went ahead and consumed sacrificial items in a state of ritual impurity. But I will say he did this during a lapse of awareness. He did not realize what had occurred. So Rashi says over here, V'alfinon mehasam, shirem eschayiv ela b'yediya t'chila v'yediya basof ela bein sayim. Kegon sheyada shenitma v'ne'ala mimenu tuma, v'achal kodesh. So the biblical examples are a person realized he was tamei, but then had a lapse of awareness. And during that lapse, he entered into the Beis HaMikdash, or he consumed sacrificial items. After he entered into the Mikdash or consumed sacrificial items, he then what? He then remembered that he was tamei. So shtayim heimi mashma sakasa venela mimenu v'tamei mashma shenela mimenu tuma aval zachu sha'achal kodesh v'shezem mikdash. So therefore again, the two biblical cases are, a person knew that he was tamei, had a lapse of awareness. Then again, during that lapse of awareness, he either entered into the temple, or he consumed sacrificial items, and he subsequently remembered. That yields another two cases. What are the other two cases? Shein arba. Yesh l'chal rabos, od shtayim meiri, boi v'ne'ala v'ne'ala beis famim l'rabos, es hazachal l'tuma, aval ne'ala mimenu kodesh. So the two supplemental cases are where what? I remembered that I was tamei, but what? I didn't realize that I entered into the Beis HaMikdash. Or, I did not realize that what I was eating was kodesh. So it's the same idea. So the two biblical cases are where I had a lapse of awareness about my tumah, and during that lapse, I consumed sacrificial items or entered into the temple. The two rabbinic cases are, I know that I'm tamei, but what? For some reason, I didn't realize that where I'm entering into is the Beis HaMikdash, or what I'm consuming ultimately, again, is sacrificial items. Good. Similarly, again, about saying, Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayim, Shein Arba. They're both saying, so just to appreciate what's happening over here, the Gemara here is quoting from the opening Mishnah in Maseches Shavuos. Eretz Hashem will get there as well. So the opening Mishnah Maseches Shavuos. So the opening Mishnah Maseches Shavuos discusses all of these cases that are Shtayim Shein Arba. So in the case of oaths, you have two that are four, right? So in the case of oaths, remember again, what are the two that are four? So the biblically prohibited oaths are Shavuos She'ochal, She'lo Ochal. I will eat and I won't eat, which ultimately yield two more rabbinic cases of I did eat or I didn't eat. Right? Similarly, again, in the case of Tumah, two cases that are four. The two biblical cases are lapse of awareness. I knew that I was Tameh. I had a lapse of awareness. And during that lapse of awareness, I either entered into the Beis HaMikdash and or I ate sacrificial items, which yield two more rabbinic cases, which are what? I remember that I was Tameh, but what? I forgot that I didn't realize I was in the Mikdash, or I didn't realize that which I was eating is consecrated and sacrificial. So we'll say now, that same Mishnah also quotes Shabbos. Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. Similarly, by Shabbos, the keys of Shabbos, there are two biblical keys of Shabbos, which ultimately, again, yield four keys of Shabbos. And I both say, now our Gemara is very intrigued by this. Why? Because this is different than the wording of our Mishnah. Remember again, what does our Mishnah say? What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says, Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Befnim, Ushtayim shin arba bachutz. Remember, the Mishnah, so actually let's read it inside. So Mishnah hacha, the tani beis, shin dalad bifnim, u beis, shin arba bachutz, u Mishnah haslam, the tani shtayim shin arba besulo. So I say, see, that's a very interesting shayla. Why is it that our Mishnah in Meseches Shabbos uses the wording of there are two cases which are for bifnim, and two, or I should say, bachutz, right? What is it? Bifnim. Why does it say two that are four bifnim from the Rosh Hashayachid perspective, and two that are four from the Rosh Hasharabim perspective? In other words, we're both saying our Mishnah actually really has a total of eight cases, right? Because it's four cases from the perspective of if you're standing in the private domain, and four cases if you're standing from the perspective of the public domain. So why is it that our Mishnah says two cases that are four bifnim, two cases that are four bachutz, yet the Mishnah Maseches Shavuos just says what? Shtayim Shein Arba. Two cases that are four. Just a simple question. Why is it at the end of the day that the wording of our Mishnah is a bit more protracted and elongated versus the wording of the Mishnah in Maseches Shavuos, which is much more succinct? So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, it's very simple. Hacha the Iker Shabbos Hutani Avos Vitani Toldos. So we'll say it's very simple. In our Mishnah, in Shabbos, so again, I'll both say, the topic over here is Shabbos. So because the topic is Shabbos, the Mishnah tries to be much more inclusive of what we call avos and toldos. So we'll say, we'll get into this more, but avos and toldos, so we'll say ultimately again, we'll see that in Hilchos Shabbos, there are primary categories of malacha and secondary categories of malacha. So when our Mishnah speaks about two which are four, bifnim, and two which are four, bachutz, the Mishnah is including all categories of malacha, both avos, primary categories, and secondary categories. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Tani avos v'toldos, yitzios v'achnasa. So we'll say it's very interesting. So when it comes to otzah, which one is called an av and which one is called a tolda? So Rashi says over here, tani avos v'toldos, yitzios v'achnasos, sheha yitzios avos ein. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, yitzios, the yitzios means taking something from the private domain to the public domain. Those are the primary categories of malacha. And taking something from the public domain to the private domain is a secondary category. Rabbi said, now again, from where would we know to make that distinction? That something, again, from private to public is primary, and from public to private is secondary. Rabbi said, where do we get that from? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember again, this goes back. The paradigmatic example, right, from where do we derive? Where do we derive Hotzah from? We derive Hotzah from the Mishkan. Where was it done in the Mishkan? Where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people on Shabbos, do not bring any more materials from your home to the Mishkan. So from here you see that the primary categories of Hotzah, what we call Hotzah, Rabbeinu, means from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So therefore that's the Avos. The Toldos are from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So our Mishnah includes both the Avos and the Toldos, but the Gemara is positing that the Mishnah in Shavuos only includes what? The Avos. Because you can remember, we'll say, the Mishnah in Shavuos, the primary topic in Shavuos is? Take a wild guess. Shavuos, excellent. Right? And not the holiday, right? The oaths, right? So we'll say, so that's the idea. So because of that, the Mishnah in Shavuos only kind of brings down Shabbos tangentially, because Shabbos happens to employ the same wording as Shavuos does. So by Shabbos, when it comes to Masechet Shavuos, all the Mishnah in Shavuos says that by Shabbos, it's Shtayim Shein Arba, Avos. Avos, two primary, right, the primary category of ultimately, again, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, there are two cases which are four. Our Mishnah, where the primary topic is Shabbos, wants to include all of the cases. Finish up there, Rashi, for just a moment. Rashi says, "Lomash el hotzos el misvara minon michte mirashus l'rashus kapit kra mali afuke mali iule." So Rabbi says, Rashi says something very interesting over here. Even the paradigmatic example of hotzah, our transgression from domain to domain is from the private domain to the public domain. Moshe telling them not to bring any more materials. Misvara, we say, if the prohibition of hotzah applies from the public, from the private domain to the public domain, then what? Logically, it applies from the public domain to the private domain as well. So therefore, again, back to the Gemara, Hacha deker Shabbosu, Tani Avos Tani Toldos, Hasam Delav Iker Shabbosu, Avos Tani Toldos Lo Tani. So we'll say, answer number one that the Gemara gives is in Meseches Shavuos, where the primary topic is oaths, and Shabbos is only brought in tangentially because there is a symmetrical wording by Shabbos and by Shavuos. But we'll discuss Shabbos kind of like tangentially. We'll just say Shnayim Shein Arba, two cases that are four, because we're only referring to the Avos. We'll say, what are the Avos? The Avos are the cases of transferring an item from where? Private domain to public domain. So on Shabbos, there are two biblical cases of transferring an item from a private domain to a public domain, and there are two more additional. There are two more additional rabbinic cases, but in our Mishnah, where the topic is Shabbos, so we'll say what Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim and Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. We'll give all of the cases of transferring an object from the private domain to the public domain, which is the biblical prohibition, or I should say the Avos, I should say, and the Toldos, which are ultimately, again, transferring an item from what? From a public domain to a private domain. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Avos ma'nihu. When you speak about avos, the av malacha, the primary category of malacha, by hotzah, so what are you referring to? Yitzios. Now, both say, yitzia in this context means taking an object from the private domain into the public domain. So the Gemara says, yitzios trehavion. So ultimately, as we illustrated, right, there are two cases of transferring an item from the private domain to the public domain. So maybe you'll say ultimately again, maybe the Mishnah is coming to teach you as follows, that some of them are, so for some acts of transference, you are liable, and for some you will be potter. To which the Gemara says, that can't be, and I'll tell you why. Because you also remember again, in the Mishnah Masechet Shavuos, so Yitzios Shtayim Shein Arba, ultimately, again, are what? Are listed in the same category as, for example, Maros Negoim. Right, so it says, we'll see that by Tzaras, I didn't translate this phrase before. So the Mishnah also said, oh, did I skip this one? Okay, no. So Maros Negoim Shtayim Shein Arba, remember again, the Mishnah Shavuos also said that by Tzaras, there are two cases of biblical Tzaras and two additional cases of rabbinic Tzaras. What are the two cases of biblical tzaras? Actually, let's go back for just a second. So Rashi said, Maros Nagoim, the biblical cases, I will say, are Sa'is and Baheres. Those are the two biblical forms of tzaras. Remember again, we loosely translate tzaras as leprosy. But the truth is, leprosy is an actual physical ailment. Tzaras is a physical manifestation of a spiritual malady, right? The person is spiritually sick, and that manifests itself with physical symptoms. So there are two biblical cases of Tzaras, which are Sa'is and Baheres. Those are just the names. Those are the names, ultimately, again, of the type of Tzaras. And there are two more, right? The additional two, ultimately, Rashi says, Shein Arba, is Miribois. I'm just reading Rashi. I'm going out of order a little bit. I'm sorry. Miribois Sapacha Shumashva Tfeila Kimo Safchenila Achas. We're going to see that there are ultimately, in the case of Negoim, so there are two primary categories, and there are two rabbinic, right? So we'll see that in Saras, the two primary, Seis and Baharas, are what we'll call lighter shades of white, and ultimately, again, the rabbinic cases are darker shades of white. So I will say, just like in the case of Tzaras, Sama Hasam Kulu L'Chiyuva, Af Hacha Nami Kulu L'Chiyuva. So I will say, just like in the case of Tzaras, there are two cases, which are four, but all four are liable. So too, when it comes to Shabbos, Bosa, we assume that all cases that are mentioned are all cases of liability. In other words, the Gemara wanted to float the suggestion that maybe when the Mishnah says Shtayim Shein Arba, maybe it means that there are some cases for which you are liable and some cases for which you are exempt, to which the Gemara says, no. Remember again, you have to look at the way the Mishnah is written. Everything listed in the Mishnah of when it says two which are four, it always means what? Two which are biblically prohibited, an additional two which are rabbinically prohibited, but all of them are prohibited. El Amura Papa, so what's the difference? So here we go. Hacha di Iker Shabbesu Tani Chiyuvi Pture. So we'll say, here's the difference. Here, this is kind of going back to the answer we gave before. Here, when the topic is Shabbos, so the Mishnah gives us an exhaustive list, including a list of things that are prohibited and a list of things which are permitted, right? Which are potter. Not permitted, I should say, which are potter. Hasam delavikur Shabbos, chiyuvei tani upiturei lo tani. So we'll say, very simple distinction. Our Mishnah, which again is Masechet Shabbos, so it has an obligation to give us an exhaustive list to teach us when will you be chayef for otzah and when will you be patur. Because we'll say, remember again, let's go, remember now you know the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Remember, the Mishnah gives a much more protracted list. It's shtayim shein arba befnim and shtayim shein arba bahotz for a total of eight cases. Rabbi say, but ultimately, again, as we saw in the Mishnah, some of those cases are prohibited. Which cases are prohibited? The case where you have one individual who did both what? Akira and Hanacha, but then the Mishnah ends off with a number of cases where what? You're going to be Pater. What are the cases of Pater, Rabbi Osai? Which are the cases of Tur? Where one person did Akira, one person did Hanacha. So our Mishnah, which is the topic of Shabbos, gives me an exhaustive, that's why I use Lashon of Shtayim Shein Arba Bethnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. Rabbi Osai, when you go through that whole list, some of them you will be liable for, some of them you will be not be liable for, because again, here the topic is Shabbos, the list must be more exhausted. In the case of in the Mishnah and Shavuos, Rabbi Osai, where again, the Mishnah and Shavuos is bringing down the case of Shabbos for what purpose? For what purpose? Just textual symmetry. Because again, it happens to be that Shavuos also has this same verbiage of Shtayim Shehen Arba. So it just quotes Shabbos because it's the same wording of Shtayim Shehen Arba. But the Mishnah in Shavuos has no interest in getting into an exhaustive list of Shabbos. So it just quotes it shorthand. And it only quotes it what? Shtayim Shehen Arba are the cases of liability. Cases of liability. There are two which are four, which means that in Hilchos Shabbos Shabbos Abba Hotzah, there are two cases, two biblically prohibited cases of Hotzah, which ultimately yield two more rabbinically prohibited cases, but that is Hilchos Hotzah shorthand. Shorthand is, there are four cases of liability. Our Mishnah wants to give us all the variations of Hotzah to teach us that some of them are prohibited, and some of them are, some of them are Aser, and some of them ultimately, again, are Potter. So it says the Gemara Chiyuvi Maininu. So what are the cases of Chiyuv? What are the cases of liability? Yitzios. Ultimately, again, I both say those are acts of ultimately transferring an item from a public domain, from a private domain to a public domain. Yitzios Tarti Havion. But Yitzios, there are only two cases. Shtayim Dahotza Ushtayim Dahachnasa. Both say in reality, biblically, there are two cases. There are two biblical cases of ultimately, again, when you transfer an item from a private domain to a public domain, and two more cases of where you transfer an item from a public domain to a private domain. Ay, v'hai yitzios katani. Rabbi say, see, here's what's interesting. See, the Gemara is assuming right now, if you notice, by the way, there are two different words that the Mishnah uses, yitzia and hachnasa, right? Yitzia literally means what? Means what? Going out. That refers specifically to what? We assume that refers to going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabin. The word Hachnasa means what? Bringing in. And bringing in, we assume, means what? We assume means what? Means from Rishus HaRabin to Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You're telling me now that ultimately what? That there are two which are four cases. There are four cases of Yitzios HaShabbos, which sounds like there are four cases ultimately of going ahead. So I'm sorry, go back for just a moment. Now let's read that again. So the Gemara says, Chiyuvi Maininu Yitzios. Yitzios Tarti Habyon. But I don't understand. If you tell me that the liable cases are Yitzios, there are only two cases of Yitzios. Shtayim Dotza, Shtayim Dachnosa. So the Gemara says, no. We'll say what we mean is that there are two biblically prohibited cases of Yitzios, two biblically prohibited cases of transferring an item from a private domain to a public domain, and two biblically prohibited cases of transferring an item from a public domain to a private domain. But says the Gemara, here's the problem. The way the Mishnah reads is Yitzios. We assume that Yitzia refers to something very simple. What does Yitzia refer to? What does Yitzia refer to? Dafka from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabin. To which the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Ashi says it's a very important Tana. Hachnasa nami hotza karila. Now we'll say, here we go. The truth is, although when we begin this discussion, Hotza refers to something very specific, which means what? Taking an item from a private domain to a public domain, we'll say what the Mishnah then does is globalize that word. What that word really means is Yahotzah means moving an object from one domain to another domain. Whether you're moving it from private to public or from public to private, ultimately, again, it makes no difference. So we'll say now what we're saying is, but again, I want to point out there is an etymological progression that has just unfolded in front of our eyes. Because we'll say what's happened over here is it is clear that biblically, originally Yitzia specifically referred to what? Referred to what? Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Where do we get that from? Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishkan. But as the halacha progresses, we use that word to really define any transfer of an item from any one domain to the other. And we don't care which domain that is, whether that's from private to public or from public to private. Anytime you're transferring an item from domain to domain, that is called hotza. That is called transference of an object. To which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Mimai, I'll tell you the truth is the Mishnah reads this way perfectly. Midisnan, hamotzi mirushos lirushos chayiv. So I'll say, what did the Mishnah say? That if one goes ahead and transfers an object from one rishus to another rishus. Actually, this Gemara over here is quoting the Mishnah that we'll see later on in Ayin Gimel. So if one transfers an item from one rishus to another, you're chayiv. And yet we know that case is Milo Askinon, the Kama'ayel Mirushas HaRabim, the Rushas HaYachid. So also we're going to see later on that the Mishnah discusses a case of Hotza, one who brings out an object from one domain to another domain. And we're going to see that the case over there that the Mishnah is discussing again, Ayin Gimel. So we have a little while till we get there, but the same amount of cases of transferring Ayin from public domain to private domain. Vikakarila Hotza, and yet what? The Mishnah still calls it an act of Hotza. So you see that the Lashon of Hotza, although originally was meant to refer to what? Transferring an item from a private domain to a public domain. Ultimately, again, the paradigmatic example of Moshe and telling people, don't bring any more stuff to the Mishkan from private to public. Nevertheless, from private to public, then ultimately, again, that's the case in the Mishkan, it becomes a bit more ultimately inclusive to mean any transfer of an object from one domain to another. So the Gemara says, V'taim amai, what's the reason? Very simple. Kolakiras chevitz mimkomo, tani hotza karile. We'll say essentially what the Tana does is any time you uproot an object and you move it from one domain to another, the Tana calls that hotza. So essentially what we do over here, we simplify things. You know, it doesn't appear that we're really simplifying things, but trust me, it's becoming simpler, right? Which is, originally we have two different words. We have hotza and hachnasa, right? Hotza refers to taking an item from private to public, rishos yachad to rishos harabim, and hachnasa refers to taking an object from rishos harabim to rishos hayachid. We simplify things, we just say it's all called hotza. It's all called hotza. One word. We're not going to start because you'll say it's too confusing otherwise. There's one word called hotza, and hotza just means anytime you move an object from one domain to another, that's called hotza. So I will say, Amar Ravina, let's just finish this up. Ravina says, Mas nisin nami deka. The truth is, the Mishnah supports this reading as well. This is our Mishnah, I will say. The Mishnah we just had an Amud Aleph. Why? Watch this. Diktani yitzios shabbis. This is actually quite amazing. This is an incredible deal. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim U'Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. So I'll say, interestingly enough, our Mishnah, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, so Rashi says over here, Diktani Yitzias, right. So Rashi says over here, Masnisin. I'm sorry, really Rashi Masnisin. Dahacha nami deka dachnosa nami kari hotza. Our Mishnah also supports this reading that ultimately, again, that hachnosa, taking an object from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid, is also called hotza. Why? Because we'll say, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says Yitzias, v'kamefarish hachnosa li alter. Look at Rashi, Diktani Yitzios, Valkarchech Lomotzis Mefarish Lady Yitzios Lechudayu, the Karmashin Arba, Chiyubi Ptur. Because also remember again, our Mishnah speaks about Yitzios HaShabbos, and the Mishnah immediately proceeds to discuss cases of what? Of taking objects from Rishos HaRabim into Rishos HaYochid. So you see from here that Halacha Lamaisa, although when we begin this journey of Hotza, Hotza specifically refers to transferring an item from the private to the public domain, the Tana quickly goes ahead and expands the meaning of this word to encompass all transferences of object from one domain to another. Shmaisa Gemara says, Rava Amar Rishuyos Katani, Rishuyos, I'm sorry, Tekanami Titani Yitzio Shabbos, Vekamefarish Hachnasali Alter, Shmamina, Rava Amar Rishuyos Katani, so therefore, the Gemara says, Hotza, Yitzios, refers to any transfer, any movement of an object from one domain to another. Rava Amar Rava gives a different interpretation, and Rava says Rishuyos Katani. So we'll say Rava is going back to the question of the Gemara, which is why there's a distinction between the Lashon in the Mishnah in Shavuos versus the Lashon in the Mishnah here. So why is it that the Mishnah in Shavuos just says what Yitzios Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, two which are four, versus our Mishnah, which says what? Yitzios Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Befnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. To which Rava says is very simple. Rava Amar, Rishuyos Katani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim. So we'll say, Rava once says that in fact the Mishnah in Shavuos is actually not really as much referring to the cases of Hotza and Hachnasa as much as it's saying what? There are really two primary domains on Shabbos. The two primary domains of Shabbos are what? Are Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. And between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, ultimately again, there are four cases of liability. So Rava, once again, just interpreting the distinction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Shabbos. Rashi says, Rava Amar, the Kashi the Chalishna, the Yetzios, Ben Hacha, Ben Hasam. Sa'ai, you were bothered by the distinction between the warning in our Mishnah versus the Mishnah in Shabbos, versus the Mishnah in Shavuos, excuse me. So Rishuyos Katani, Rishuyos Shtayim, Rishus Hayachil, Rishus Harabim, Shin Arba Bifnim. So I will say, ultimately, the Mishnah in Shavuos, again, is just quoting this concept shorthand. And the Mishnah is telling us, the Mishnah in Shavuos is telling us that for Hilchos Shabbos, there are two primary domains, Rishus Hayachil and Rishus Harabim, public domain, private domain, which ultimately create four different cases of liability. So Rabbi will say, so just so you understand, so what do we emerge with today? So first of all, we emerge with the Mishnah, which gives us an incredible number of different cases. So Rabbi will say, essentially what we see is, there are two cases which are four, which Rabbi will say, remember again, just so you understand that construct. What that means is, the Mishnah is just giving us the cases of Hotzah from two different perspectives. There's from the perspective of the Ani, who is standing in Rishus HaRabim, and the perspective of the Balabayis, who is standing in Rishus HaYachid. Each of them could, technically speaking, transgress the Malacha of Hotza'ah in two biblical ways and in two rabbinic ways. In order to transgress, ultimately, again, what has to happen on both sides? To transgress biblically, what has to occur? One individual must what? Do both the Akira and the Hanacha. The lifting up of the object and the placing down of the object. The Akira, the lifting up of the object, must occur in one domain, and the Hanacha occur in a second domain. If you do that, then ultimately you have biblically transgressed Hotzah. It makes no difference whether you're going from public to private or from private to public. Even though the paradigmatic example of Hotzah is by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan, where the act of Hotzah was going in what direction? From private domain to public domain. But we just saw Halacha L'maisa, it's all called Hotzah. So whichever direction you're going in, if you did Akira, lifted up an object in one domain, put it down at rest in a second domain, you have violated the biblical prohibition. However, if one person does Akira, one person does Hanacha, let's say one person lifts up the object in one domain, brings it into a second domain, but doesn't put it down in that second domain. Instead, the other person takes it out of there and he does the place in the second domain, then what's the Halacha? Pater. Rabbi will say, in that case, both of them will be pater, because we're going to see this by throughout Hilchos Shabbos. Whenever you have two people do a malacha together, and each of them do part of the malacha, they're both pater. But as we've seen, then what? Pater means what? Pater means pater aval aser, meaning you're not liable, but ultimately, again, one is still not permitted to do it. Rabbi, I just end off with a beautiful concept. The Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, says Baal Shem Tov, gave a beautiful, beautiful insight into this opening Mishnah Masechet Shabbos. So listen to this. So remember again, the Mishnah begins with the case of Pashat Ani Es Yado Lifnim, the Nasan L'Soch Yado Shabbal Abayi. So we'll say, remember again, case number one is the Ani goes ahead and extends his hand into the Balabas's home and places his basket into the Balabas's hand. So in that case, again, ultimately, again, the Ani is going to be Chayiv. Right? Similarly, if the Ani reaches into the Balabas's home and takes something out, he'll be Chayiv. In all of those cases, the Balabayis is Potter. Right? The Balabayis is Potter. Rabbi say, but what's the halacha? If the Balabayis extends his hand outside, let's say the Balabayis takes the loaf of bread, and he extends outside and puts it into the hands of the Ani, the Balabayis will be Chayiv. So we'll listen to this. Throughout the week, when we're involved in business, or when we're involved in our lives, so we'll say, so the Yitzhahara is around, you know, when you're in the world, so ultimately the Yitzhahara, the evil inclination, is very much alive and present. Rabbi will say, but on Shabbos, ulam b'Shabbos Kodesh, kesha'adam shuvis mimalachto, b'shor lav kiddush ha-Shabbos, hare yetzahara kilo omeid b'chutz ke'ani. But come Shabbos Kodesh, the holiness of Shabbos is so profound that the Yetzahara doesn't have room in my home. So the Yetzahara is like the pauper who's standing outside the door. I'm the Balabais, I'm in my house. The Yetzirah, who's the pauper, because he's the Yetzirah, is the force that seeks to spiritually impoverish me. So Yetzirah is the Ani, he's standing on the outside, right? During the week, the Yetzirah is inside my house, right? Inside my home, inside my life. Shabbos, I'm inside, the Yetzirah is outside. Va'adam hu balabayis, b'kidushas ha-Shabbos, ha-shor alav. Well, we'll say, what happens sometimes even on Shabbos? What happens sometimes on Shabbos? Hine, ima Ani poshet es yado bifnim. But sometimes, even on Shabbos, the Ani extends his hand inside. Right? Even sometimes on Shabbos, the Yetzirah tries to get a foothold in my life. He tries to extend his hand inside. Sometimes the Ani sticks his hand in the inside and he puts something in my hand. Or the Ani sticks his hand inside and pulls something from my home outside. What's the halacha, Rabosai? If the Ani goes ahead and extends his hand inside and deposits something inside the house, or the Ani goes ahead and takes something from out inside and brings it out, say, what's the halacha, Rabosai? What's the halacha? Ha'ani chayiv or balabayis potter. So if the Yetzer Hara goes ahead and somehow, for some reason, is able to breach my home, even on Shabbos Kodesh, then ultimately, again, it's the Ani, the Yetzer Hara is chayiv. I didn't do it, right? The Yetzer Hara extended itself inside, but I'm still trying to maintain the Kedusha of my home and of my life. Then ultimately, Ani chayiv, balabai is pater. But however, says the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, listen to this. However, because I will say why, Mishum di Yitzro tokvo, uma hayelo lemi avad. Because sometimes my Yetzer just gets the best of me. So sometimes if the Ani extends his hand into my house and he puts his influence there, or ultimately he grabs something from me and pulls it outside, sometimes again the Yetzer just gets the best of me. And sometimes they both say, even in those cases where the Yetzer just overruns me, so the Ani is Chayiv and the Balabayis is Pater. Aval Pashat Balabayis es Yadolachutz. Shu Me'elav Hischil L'Spalel Olimah. We talk about Shavaz Arsipinios. Sa'az balabai is chayiv. But I will say, ultimately, again, you know, sometimes if the Ani extends his grip and his grasp into my home on Shabbos, so what can I do? Sometimes I'm overrun by the Yitzhara. But if I put myself in a place of Nisayon, if I put myself in a place of compromised spirituality, if I extend my hand outside of my home to the Ani, then what? Then in that case, the Ani is potter. And the balabayis is chayiv. In other words, what does it mean? So sometimes, again, my job in life is to create a spiritual friendly atmosphere. And a spiritual friendly atmosphere means I must have a home of Kedusha. And having a home of Kedusha, having a home of holiness, means what influences do you allow inside of your home? It's very, very important. Whether it's what channels you allow in, what subscriptions you allow in, what do you allow into your house? So if the home is Kaddish, the influences of the home in Kaddish, the conversations that take place around the table are Kaddish. If the home is Kaddish, but inevitably sometimes the Ani extends his hand in, it happens. It happens. Sometimes the Ani is able to even breach the home fortress of holiness. It could happen. And in those cases, what happens? I will say, if I'm the Balabais, I've created a home of Kedusha. I've created a life of Kedusha. I have friends who foster my Kedusha, influences of Kedusha. But the Ani still manages to get his hand inside my house. What's the halacha? I'm potter. Because again, all I can do in life is try. But sometimes, even if you try, the Ani is able to thrust his hand into my home. In that case, I'm potter. Rabosai, if I extend my hand out to the Ani, right, then in that case, what? Balabai is chayif. See, Rabosai, if I set up a life of Kedusha, which means a home of Kedusha, home of holiness, friends who foster my holiness, I'm careful with the influences around me because I recognize everything impacts my Kedusha. But despite all of that, the Ani, the HR, is still able to go ahead and get his hand inside my home, then I'm potter. But Rabosai, if I'm not vigilant enough, and I end up sticking my hand outside of my home, which means I don't create the correct gedarim. I don't create the correct boundaries. I don't create the correct lifestyle to foster growth in ruchnius. And I extend my hand out to the Ani. Then what does the Mishnah Paskin? Ha'ani Pater. The Yetzirah is not at fault. While Balabayis Chayiv. But the Balabas is Chayiv. Rebbe was saying, to really create true Kedusha in life, we must create homes of Kedusha, lifestyles of Kedusha, friendships of Kedusha. And then when we fall and fail, which inevitably we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, sometimes the Ani gets his hand inside to your home, inside to your life. But if I don't create the right structures to foster Kedusha in my life, and I extend my hand out to the Ani, and ultimately, again, I invite the Yetzirah into my life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry. There's no excuse for that falling. There's no excuse for that failure. So we see Abosai that even Yetzios HaShabbos is not just a din in Hilchos Shabbos, but ultimately, again, a din in Hilchos Ruchnius and a din in Hilchos Chayim. Shabbos, I'll stop over here.